Stephanie Brown, the Autism Society of Southern Illinois. First off, it's always good to see you, Stephanie. You look well. Everything
Thank
going
you.
All right?
It's good to see you.
You know, this is a day that's put aside. Technically, it's called National Stop Bullying Day. Now, Stephanie's with the Autism Society, but also does some work in other areas here, too. You know, were you bullied when you were a kid?
I was not bullied.
Yeah?
I was a bystander. And I think that's almost just as bad.
Well, see, one of the things, you know, I'm a pretty big fella, but I wasn't always. And so got a little taste of that when I was younger. Don't have to put up with it now. But I think we all have, at some point, we were that person. We were the bullied. We were the person who watched.
Mm-hmm.
Or in some cases, we were the person that intervened. A rarity, I think, largely. But the difference between you and I now, Stephanie, and what goes on now is there are so many new and different and great ways to bully. I mean, when it comes to social media and your ability to, I mean, you and I talked about this once before. Once upon a time, you could go home and it ended. And now the bullying follows you home.
Yeah, it's constant, nonstop. With all the social media problems they are, I mean, you have Facebook, you have Snapchat, you have the Twitters, and some of those.
And texting.
And it's so hard to prove because, you know, at the school I work at, I'll have students who come there because they have been bullied at their home school. And they'll come in and they'll say, Miss Stephanie, here's, you know, this person. And I'll say, block them. Block them from your social media. You know, do this and do that. And when I tell them that, they're always like, but I'm still being punished because I have to close all of my accounts because this one person or the group of people keep harassing me. How is that fair? You know, when my kids were little, I think we all used to say that saying, sticks and stones can break my bones.
We don't say that anymore.
We don't say that anymore because words do hurt and they are powerful. Because even if you shake it off at the end of the day, I could get a staff report and have a glowing remark. But if there's one thing on that report that's negative, that's the thing I take home and I fixate on and say, how can I make this better?
And fix this. You know, and the fact is also there's another aspect to this now. And I've seen this in particular over the last, I think, about 3 or 4 years where I've been more cognizant of it. People videotaping the bullying.
Yeah.
And then putting it out for further humiliation. So you see, you know, and then kids realize it's the internet and it's there forever.
Exactly. And those are the people that I have to wonder about. You're videotaping someone else getting made fun of, brutally beaten, set on fire. What does this say about your character? How are you able to just calmly stand back and videotape something and be comfortable with that?
So where does the conversation start on stopping bullying? Because this is one of the hardest things that I can think of because, you know, you think, well, son, a daughter, you know, I realize I've become aware that you've been mistreating your fellow students and people at school. I thought I raised you better than that. All right. And that's where you start. And then you move forward. And that has got to be a hard conversation for a parent. How does that conversation sound, Stephanie?
Well, I think you start early. And I think you start early. I'm talking 3, 4 preschool years, and you start teaching tolerance, acceptance, and you talk about differences. Again, I always say the hardest part about parenting is being able to talk about things that you're not comfortable with. And that's how you grow as a person, as a whole, but especially as a parent. Because, you know, we have our 3 and 4-year-old little babies, and we just want to coddle them, and they're just so precious. And children are loving and accepting at that age. Until they start seeing differences and people start noticing differences and pointing out that there's, you know, something different about a child. Then you start teaching, okay, it's okay. It's okay for that person to be different.
Stephanie, I've seen it a lot that really there wasn't a matter of differences. So much it was a matter of they're the weak member of the, and I can, and this is interesting, people who do things Because they can.
Right, they do.
And it's really nothing more than that. And then it can go off the rails. When you the weak person, you don't fight back, there's no retaliation, there's no retribution, and you think, well, I'll do it again tomorrow.
Right, because that's the difference. That person is soft-spoken. That person doesn't know how to advocate for themselves. I know it's hard to believe, but I'm not the most shy person. I'm pretty outspoken, and I pretty much just tell it how it is.
Tell.
Yeah, so in this day and age, it makes me a little nervous.
But when you're 6 and 7 years old, And this goes on and continues to the point where young people commit suicide. We've seen it happen here in Southern Illinois, literally seen it happen here in Southern Illinois. And then everybody is like, well, we should have done something. Well, here's the day where you can at least focus on a plan. And one of those should be whether you can recognize whether your child is being bullied because, as a rule, they don't want you to know. They don't want anybody to know. They want to hide the humiliation. I at one point, I was kind of big in the Buddhist theory that the worst thing you could do to another human being was make them fear. Now I've moved over to the worst thing you can do to another human being is humiliation. And that's what bullying is. That's at its core.
It is. And, you know, unfortunately, my oldest child was bullied at school. Now, this was a little girl who loved school. Wanted to go to school every day. She was popular. She was a cheerleader. She didn't fit into the norm of kids who could be bullied because she wasn't shy. She wasn't, you know, she spoke her mind. Like I said, straight A student. She was a cheerleader. She started getting bullied in middle school. And I'm sorry, but middle school girls can just be mean.
Middle school boys can be pretty mean too. But yeah, there is a certain viciousness.
Yeah.
For lack of a better word, and I think it almost always universally catches people aback when they know these things are going on and what's the nature of them.
But I missed the signs.
Did you?
And I felt like a failure. I felt like I failed my child. And that's the worst feeling as a parent, to feel like you failed your child.
All right, in retrospect, because hindsight is a powerful thing. In hindsight, what did you see that you should have recognized?
Her grades started to fall. She started being less social. She didn't want to go to school. She started getting stomach aches or headaches. You know, and I'm taking her to the doctor, having her checked, and she's fine, and it's trying to force her to go to school. And then one day, she basically lost it. She did. She had a meltdown. And she had to go to a hospital to be treated because she had that much of a breakdown,
anxiety
attack, yes.
Right.
And, you know, they kept her for a couple of days. And then after that, she never told me. At that point, I still did not know what was wrong with her. I had no idea. And then she finally told me that she was being bullied at school.
Right. And caught you by surprise. Now, you know, there's an interesting thing because we're running out of time. We're speaking with Stephanie Brown today. And I just want to make sure I get the title right, because this is something that a great many people deal with or will deal with. It happens either coming or going. Well, the three, the watchers, the doers, and the subject of the bullying. It's National Stop Bullying Day. One of the interesting things, Bryn Preparatory School, just quickly tell me about this thing called the Buddy Bench. It's a new idea to help kids reach out.
Yes, the Buddy Bench has come into place because 60% of children with special needs are bullied. That's a statistic that's way too high. So we have partnered up with Brim. There's the concept of the Buddy Bench. The Buddy Bench is to promote inclusion, and it's a great concept because if you're new to a school or if you're shy, you have anxiety, or you're nonverbal, there's going to be a bench on your playground, and the children in your school are going to have a social-emotional learning curriculum to go along with it, and it's going to talk about if you see a friend that's sitting on the bench or a kid sitting on the bench that you don't know, they want to be included in some type of play. They just don't know how to ask you. So the kids will notice the child sitting alone on the bench. They will walk over to them and invite them to play.
Does this work?
It does work. It does work.
And see, because I'm kind of curious about this, because very often children are very giving, very compassionate, very empathetic, but they don't know the social cues yet.
They don't know the social cues.
And so this bench allows it to be so blatant that the ones who are predisposed towards help are then motivated to that call for help.
Absolutely.
How do you know it's a buddy bench?
It's a great call. Well, this young
from
man
the learning named, curve educational thing, or has it got a label on
it's
it?
It's got a There was a young man. His name was Christian, and he started this Buddy Bench project. He was getting ready to move to a new school. He had a lot of anxiety about moving to a new school, making new friends. So he saw this concept at a school in Germany. It's called the Buddy Bench. He went to his principal about it and said, "Hey, I think we need to do this here at our school." And it's just started growing since then. So thank you, Christian, for coming up with that concept. And it works.
I'm interested. I can see how it works. I always make a commitment to myself. I never forget what it was like to be a kid, to not have any skin, to be raw to everything that happens to you. I kind of made a commitment myself. I remember it very well. At the time, I remember staring at the floor, and it was a blue, one of those light bulb moments.
Mm-hmm.
It was a blue shag carpet that I'm looking at the time when the light bulb goes off, to make a commitment never to forget what it likes when you're a kid and it hurts. It's not like being an adult. We have a tendency to forget that. And I think there's a healthy aspect to forgetting that when you grow up.
Absolutely.
But on the other hand, when you try to reapply it in helping with kids, sometimes it's good to, revisit that moment, I think.
Yes, absolutely.
Stephanie, it's always good to see you, kiddo. All right?
It's good to see you,
too. Hey, what do you got coming up, Autism Society fundraisers? You've got about 10 seconds.
Well, we have on October 21st, we are at Brim. We're turning Brim into Halloween Town. So if your kids need practice trick-or-treating, if they just want to have some fun, do the Trail of Treats with us. There's going to be a hayride. Lots of good times. Come out 4:30.